Today we are honored to have Dr. Magdi Latif, my friend and my guest in this preaching course. Fadali Dr. Magdi. He will give us the first lecture. Fadali.
It is a great blessing and honor to be with you tonight, and I'm delighted to partake in this course. And the subject of tonight entitled Goal Setting. Setting and achieving goals for a purpose-driven life and ministry. This is a very important topic, I believe, not only for those who are engaged in evangelizing ministries, but also for the Christian life of each of one. I'm going to tackle issues related, what do we mean by purpose-driven life? And what do we mean by goal setting? How it is important? Does goal setting conflict with faith? And how to come up with some sort of a balanced life where different aspects of our activities are balanced in a way that serve God and serve our ministries and help us achieve a purpose-driven life. Let us look together to this important diagram. This diagram is called the path of a spiritual leader. It speaks about, for each spiritual leader, and also applies to each of us, what are the phases that each of us would pass through his or her own spiritual life. The most critical starting point is surrender, when each one of us submits his or her own life to the Lord. And the question will be, am I ready to live for God completely? Once you surrender all the fears, all the anger, all the worry, all the chaos, all the unhappiness, all the despair, all the depressions, all the emptiness, turn to a life of meaningfulness, hope, joy, and perfect peace. And once we arrive at this important phase, we start to look at stewardship. So the second phase is stewardship, where the question will be, am I ready to be who God made me for? Where each of us starts to look at his strengths, talents, passions, abilities, personality, and experiences as gifts from the Lord. And each of us will be steward to serve the Lord with all these talents and abilities. And then come the third phase of service, where each of these talents and abilities are put into the hands of the Lord. And the question will be, am I ready to use my life to impact others? And once I'm starting to do so, I will be reaching the significance of my life. Or in other words, I would say, I am living the life God created me to live. And by having that significance of contribution and focus and purpose, by doing so, that would be a fulfilled, purpose-driven life and ministry. These phases, although they appear to be like a U-turn, but actually in our Orthodox faith, it is more of a continuous process. We do not start a surrender stage and then we move into a steward and then move into a service and then move into a significance and that's it. But it's always a continuous process of repentance every day. In other words, surrender every day, asking the Lord to use all the gifts and all the talents as a steward to serve His name and then to serve others and to fulfill His commandments in my life, and asking to be a contributor, a significant contributor to the lives of others. So, like our Holy Fathers have taught us, there are two important terms: the repentance of life, tawbat al-hayah, and life of repentance, hayat al-tawbah. So this is more or less the life of repentance. It is a continuous process. However, it has to start with a serious question and a serious point where I should be asking myself, I am really ready to live for God completely or not. And that would be the most crucial question that in your evangelizing service you have to pose to others, especially those who are away from the Lord or are irreligious. Because this is the fundamental question to start with at the beginning. So this is the path of a purpose-driven life. And the purpose-driven life is trying to answer two key questions. As God has planned for you and I to be a person, to be a certain type of person, and to fulfill His particular purpose in life. And the always question will be, who am I becoming? Am I conformed to the image of His Son? And the second question, am I fulfilling God's call and purpose for my life? And these two questions, their answers will decide my personal destiny. If you look at what St. Paul has written about it, for the call and purpose, and also for the type of person you and I are created for, in Romans 8 verses 29, he said, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. الذين سبق فعينهم سبق فدعاهم ليكونوا مشابهين صورة ابنه." To be conformed to the image of his Son. This is the character. This is the type of person God is expecting of us, and this is the purpose of our existence. And then it comes in Ephesians 1 verse 11 when he said, "In whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will." Which he says in Arabic, الَّذِينَ فِيهِ أَيْضًا نِلْنَا نَصِيبًا مُعَيَّنِينَ سَابِقًا حَسَبْ قَصْدِ الَّذِي يَعْمَلْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسَبْ رَأِي مَشِيئَتِهِ. قصد, حَسَبْ قَصْدِ الَّذِي يَعْمَلْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. This is the purpose. Having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. And then in the last verse in Ephesians 2 verse 10, "For by his act we were given existence in Christ Jesus to do those good works which God before made ready for us so that we might do them." لَأَنَّنَا نَحْنُ عَمَلَهُ مَخْلُقِينَ فِي الْمَسِيحِ يَسُوعَ لَأَعْمَالٍ صَالِحَةٍ قَدْ سَبَقَ اللَّهِ فَأَعَدَّهَا لِكَيْ نَسْلُكْ فِيهَا. This orientation toward a purpose-driven life is not only a biblical, but also this is a divine and holy orientation to each and every one of us. That's why it is very important for us, before we go into evangelizing, this is a very important question that we need every day to ask ourselves. Who am I becoming? Am I every day conforming to the image of His Son? And second, am I fulfilling God's call and purpose for my life? These are very important and fundamental questions. But the question now comes into, okay, if that is the purpose of my life that God has made for each of us, what would be the goals I should put for myself to be guided by that purpose? And here comes this diagram that tries to see how goal setting is structured as a cornerstone to look at the vision, mission, goals, action plans, and challenges and balance of life. And I'm going to touch on this, each of these key components a little bit fast way, because I know that each of this deserves on its own a separate session. But we'll try to present a framework on how we set goals for our lives guided by a purpose-driven life and ministry. Let's look at this verse from Habakkuk. Habakkuk said something very interesting and very strong about the value of vision. And bear with me in reading this, and be careful, because each sentence has a very deep meaning. "I will stand upon my watch and see myself on the tower and watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer concerning my complaint." Here Habakkuk is expecting to hear from the voice of the Lord what his advice, what his guidance for the kind of complaints and the kind of questions and concerns within himself. And then the Lord answered in a very revealing way and said, write the vision and make it plain on tables, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not delay. Hear a promise from the Lord that a vision is coming, and a vision is a must. And a vision, whatever it takes time, it has to come, and it has to be written, and it has to be taken seriously, because this will answer your questions, this will reveal the insights, and will guide the way before you. That's why three key points that we need to understand about what does it mean, a vision, and what is the difference between vision and mission. Let us look at this drawing. These are three levels of visioning. Vision means a dream. It is a picture of a preferred future, the ultimate end, desired end state. This is the ultimate goal. This is the final goal. This is the ultimate purpose. This is the highest level of expectation, and it relates to the future. We may not see it now, but each leader has to have a kind of vision for the future, for the people he is serving, as well as for himself or herself. And then comes a mission, which is more related to the present, which is a kind of a roadmap to achieve that vision, usually in descriptive statement on how to achieve the vision at present. And then comes the goals as a set of specific measurable steps that help achieve the mission toward the vision. If we want to look at some biblical examples to explain a little bit what do we mean by this vision, let us look at these examples. These are some examples from the Bible about leaders who had great visions, and their names were put on stones for the entire generations. Noah, his vision was to build the ark of survival and deliverance. Abraham, his vision was to create a great nation of people of faith. Moses, to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Joshua, to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. David, to build the temple in Jerusalem, and Solomon to complete the building of that temple. Nehemiah to rebuild the Jerusalem wall, and Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles. What is interesting, and we can of course have many other names and leaders who have great visions, but what is interesting in each of these examples that none of them at a certain point in time was absolute about that vision. None of them would have dreamed that who had been tasked to lead and to guide the entire nations for such a vision or for such a task. But it is, back to our first slide, it is the surrender. The surrender, the submission to the Lord was the key and the most important point, where each and every one of them, when he said to the Lord, yes, I am willing, yes, I am ready, then the Lord could really work it with him and through him. So the vision is a must, because leadership also is a must. Every Christian is a leader, because definition of leadership is influence. And by nature of Christianity, which means a new life, a new creation, each and every Christian is asked and is expected to influence others in various circles of his or her life. In his family, in his neighborhood, in his community, in his ministry, in his work. And that's why each leader, vis-a-vis each Christian, should have some sort of a vision to his life. And the key question would be, what is the vision that the Lord is entrusting me to do? What would be my life mission? What would be my purpose-driven life that will guide all my acts, all my behaviors, all my work, and all my interaction in my lifetime? These are fundamental questions that is very important to have and to ask, and to have some sort of internal dialogue about what would be the Lord asking and expecting of us. If you look at how can we undertake, or how can we recognize our personal vision, there is a sort of a magnet in each of us. You and God's will for you. And for a Christian person, it is always this internal struggle to submit to the Lord, to surrender, try to identify what is your will for my life. And the more Jesus Christ becomes the lead, and the more becomes not me but Jesus, the more His vision to me is revealed. So that my personality, my giftings, my talents, my strengths and my experiences are conformed with His purpose for my life, His calling and His vision for me, and the mission to accomplish. And this is a day, and this is an everyday exercise. Every day when I pray in the morning, I ask the Lord, what is your vision for me? What do you want me to do? Let it be not your, my will, but your will. So developing a personal vision is a daily exercise, but also it is an inspiration that each of us needs to have, so that this will guide our ministry and our work. Once we develop the vision, then we start to look at what would be the goals. And let us look at some examples of the goals that can help us to understand what we mean by it. As you might have heard before, a goal should be very specific and very measurable, attainable, realistic and timely. What they call SMART. This is a simple way to memorize how a goal should be set. S stands for specific. For example, we can take this example of a goal for a spiritual aspect of life. I will have daily devotions from 6 to 7 a.m. every day in my room. Just a little example. Of course, you can change this and put whatever you want. But this is the kind of a goal that I put deliberately for myself, so that I know what kind of activity I have to do to accomplish that goal. Another example that elaborates on measurability: I will share the gospel with 100 people in my community in the year starting next week. If I put that goal for myself, this is measurable, because I can measure whether I have reached that 100 people or not. And my community can be my church, can be my neighborhood, can be my congregation or the group I'm serving. Attainable. Attainable, we have to be honest about whether this is reasonable objective or goal to be achieved at this point or not. Because you may have something very optimistic, very ambitious, but not really attainable. And the same thing for realistic. It has to be doable, real and practical. And then timely. For example, if we say I will conduct a national leadership seminar in September 2010, by September 2010, we can assess whether we did it or not. These are just few examples of how can we set goals that can help us to achieve the vision that we have developed for ourselves. And a set of goals would be the mission that will help me to achieve that vision. Then I would like to move into another aspect, which is the balanced life and the Christian life. These are various dimensions of our spiritual life, of our Christian life, sorry. There is a spiritual dimension, physical dimension, social, work and financial, mental, family. All these are different aspects of our day-to-day life. What would make it a real difference between a Christian and non-Christian, or a Christian person or a Christian leader and a religious person, is the way he or she sees these various aspects of life. Because all of us deal with spiritual matters, physical, social, work, mental, family, financial. But the great difference between a Christian and a religious person and non-religious person is to what extent these are perceived. What is the Christian view to each of these? And let us take some examples of how goals can be set for each of these dimensions. For the ministry and social social and ministry can come together into one area. Our real job is to love and encourage people, not to judge them, because it is the responsibility of God who judges. It's not us. So the goal then for the social aspect will be simply to love others and to express the love of Christ to others. As simple as that. For the spiritual aspect, it is abiding in relationship with God, getting to know Him more intimately, and as a result coming to be like Him for His glory and our blessing. This is the goal for the spiritual dimension of my life, to have daily and intimate relationship, which ultimately will result into be conforming to the image of His Son. If you look at the financial and the career and work side, the Christian view is that money is God's money. It's not our money. We are stewards to that money. Money in itself is not a sin, but the way we look at money and the way we look at financial business and financial affairs and the way we look at our work and our profession is the way that a Christian makes a difference from others. In other words, God gives us the responsibility to manage this money as stewards. So it makes a great difference if I put a goal for my life to earn money for the sake of money, to earn positions or jobs or to improve my career or to have career development for the sake of career development or for the ego development, vis-a-vis having this as a steward to the Lord to use all these talents to serve His name. Here the goal will be different. If I look at another dimension, the family, what would be a goal for my family life? A Christian sees children as having the basic characteristics of the kingdom of heaven and as a unique gift of heritage from God. In other words, a Christian person should never condemn or should never regret having a child, because this is a gift from the Lord and this is for extension and expansion of God's kingdom on earth. And the family unit is so important to God that a man's management of it qualifies or disqualifies him to exercise leadership in the church. It is, sometimes we have this kind of dichotomy, unfortunately, between someone who is supposed to be a leader in the church while he does not lead his family in a proper and Christian way. We cannot have this kind of contradiction. So that's why family life is a very important aspect, and it has to be part of the map of your goals. What are you doing for your wife, for your family, for your children? And to what extent you are leading and witnessing God's love and God's wisdom for those who have entrusted you for. If we look at the physical aspect of life, the Christian view of body is that this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we are always asked to take care of the body from the Christian perspective, not to abuse it in any way. Whoever smokes, whoever gets any bad habits in any promiscuity or any kind of abuse of the body, this is against God's plans for that body. Because Christianity and in the Orthodox dogma, soma is blessed, sarex is Sarex relates to the sinful nature, while soma is the creation of the Lord. So soma is blessed, soma is sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ Himself was incarnated and took our body. So the body in itself is not a sin. And in fasting, we do not humiliate the body, rather than we try to sublimate the body, so that the spirit and the body together in a synergy, like our fathers taught us, that synergy between the body and the spirit lift up our mind and our mindset and our attitude into more of a heavenly kind of lifestyle. So this is another aspect of the goals. When we put goals for our lives, how would we look at our bodies? In that sense, if somebody is trying to undertake diet, or to be careful about the calorie intake, or be careful about the habits of the body. This is spiritual. This is not sin. This is important because you are entrusted on that temple of the Holy Spirit. If you look at another dimension of the mental and the intellectual, this is the way that God expects us as well, because the mind, the brain, is again a gift from the Lord. And the way we nurture that brain and that mind is another goal that deserves to be put on your plan. To develop wisdom and appreciate the value of thoughtful reflection throughout a lifetime of learning. That's why a true Christian all the time learns new things, reads, and tries to educate himself or herself. This is part of the life goals. Now, after putting all these dimensions, I would like to share with you an interesting table. I'm afraid I couldn't put it on the slides because it was a little bit big, but this is a kind of a goal map. This kind of these dimensions or six categories for a clear picture of your goals. It can take the ministry and social, all these dimensions that we mentioned: family and home, spiritual, intellectual, educational, physical and health, and can financial and the career. And for each one, how to be specific about that goal and how to measure whether you achieved it or not. Is it realistic? Is it attainable? And when that goal will be achieved? For example, if we take some examples of goals, specific goals mentioned here, for the family and home, improve my family relationships, further deepen my marriage relationship with my wife, to provide quality time with my children, to upgrade my home relationships, to give more time for my children. This is a kind of goal, and it is very appropriate to set that goal for the family and assess yourself over a period of 1 year or so. If we take a spiritual goal, and of course thanks to the beautiful approach of our Coptic Orthodox Church, this spiritual nurture is jointly done with your godfather or spiritual mentor. When you put plans for your life, this is a goal: Bible readings, daily devotions, fasting or praying. What would be the system that you and your spiritual father would put yourself? It is good to put it as a goal, a smart goal. And then in a lifetime, when you meet with your father, you assess yourself, where are you? If we take financial and career, you put savings or promotion or investment or all these kind of things, you put it as goals, but with the Christian perspective. I know this might seem a little bit away from the culture, from our Egyptian culture, where we don't feel comfortable of writing down our vision or missions or goals. But this is a very useful exercise. And those visionaries, they wrote their visions and was recorded in the Bible, in the Holy Book. And when, as Habakkuk mentioned, if we look back to what he said, Habakkuk, he said, write the vision and make it plain on tables. What does this mean? اكتب الرؤية وانقشها على الألواح لكي يرقد قارئها. What does this mean is to write the vision and to make it plain on tables, to become a reference, so that you need to go back and see what is your vision. And if Father Dawood allows me, try to take example of Amba Brahm's vision. Amba Brahm's vision 10 years ago or probably more was, as I would say, and you may wish to put it in a different way, is to all the congregation reach out poor people. Each member of the body of the Christ has a partake in serving others. Go outside, go out of your inner circle into a wider circle. This kind of vision for every church member is a servant. This is a vision, so that everyone goes beyond his or her comfortable zone into a wider zone of service. This is a vision. What was the mission? To establish groups of people to go and outreach in different parts of Egypt and now even outside Egypt. What are the goals? Well, we will have a goal for development service, for Sunday schools, for youth, for different goals. So the goals differ. And the mission is to achieve all these goals to arrive at the vision. You could see now, you know, how this hierarchy comes. The vision is the ultimate picture. This is the dream I look for. What would be the vision of the church? Each church member has a place in the kingdom of God. That would be a vision. This is a general vision. But the question will be for each of us, what would be your vision for people you are entrusted to serve? What is your vision for your own family? What is your vision for your child, your son or your daughter? This is important exercise. What would be your dream for him or her in 10 years time? What would be the image or the picture that you want, that you'd like to see? This might be far away from the reality. This might seem to be totally away from the current frustrations or failures. But God has always put a vision for us with all the frustrations He had with us, so that His vision for us was a better life. He came for a better life. And He entrusted mankind to be conformed to the image of His Son, because He trusted man can have the potential that He has put for him. So we need to have this kind of vision translated into a mission, reflected into goals in various aspects of life: social, family, spiritual, work, even financial, even body. It captures all directions or all dimensions of life. This exercise needs some training, some experience. It needs somebody to take aside, and probably the time of Holy Lent could be a very good timing to do such an exercise. What is the vision you want? But here we have to be very careful. The vision won't come from your own intellectual exercise. It is not an intellectual exercise. It is not a mental exercise. It is a revelation from the Lord in the first place. That's why it has to be linked with fasting, with prayer, with deep insights into what the Word is telling me. That's why when we attend the Holy Mass, when we read the Bible, when we listen to sermons, the question should be always, Lord, enlighten me. What is the vision that you want me to see and to follow? And by doing this, I will be fulfilling the purpose of my life. So that a purpose-driven life is a life that has been enlightened by a vision, translated into a mission, converted into specific goals, can lead into a life of fulfillment and happiness. The last slide I will present is some sort of a diagram. I'm sorry that I put a lot of diagrams today. Bring the last slide, please. But this is another exercise that I personally conducted in a training course I attended on this visioning and goal setting exercise. And I did it with so many people from different parts of the world, and so it was very interesting and very useful. You know, this map is, this circle shows the different dimensions of life, as we mentioned now, you know, the intellectual, educational, family, spiritual, ministry, financial, health, etc. And the blue lines, which are the outer lines within the circle, shows how would a life balance look like. And the way it comes, you know, if you look at the center, this is zero. And the outer circle, this is 10, which means that for each of these dimensions you can score it from 0 to 10. So for example, in the family life, if we look at the inner one, the red one, someone would score 2 out of 10. What does this mean? That family life is not given due priority. You got it? While if you look at the financial and the career one, it would score probably 6. Okay, so this means that it has priority more than the family. Then if you look at the health and physical, it may rank 2, which means that this person does not look carefully about his physical growth. If you look at the spiritual, it might come 8, which is great, yeah, but at what expense? If the spiritual activity becoming at the expense of the family stability, this is dangerous. And this is not biblical. So the interesting thing about this diagram is that if you draw it for yourself, try to take each of these dimensions and from 0 to 10, score it. And then try to relate all these points together. And then you can see how would you rate yourself in these various dimensions. And then if you find that there is a certain dimension is behind, then you need to set a goal to improve that dimension by putting more effort and more time. I hope that it's clear, but I think this is one of the useful tools also that can be used to help setting goals to serve our holistic approach to ministry. I hope that setting goals guided by a purpose-driven life and ministry to achieve a vision translated into a mission described by specific goals that can help cover various dimensions of life can really be a useful thing for us as leaders as well as true Christians. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Magdi, for the great lecture. I really enjoyed it. Do you have any questions to Dr. Magdi? Dr. Inez.
I'd like to thank you too for a very interesting lecture and very informative. But my question is maybe the concern of many of us. And as you said, it's a different culture. We come from a culture where Allah wiyin kit, dunya btimshi. How would you advise someone who has never tried to think in this way to have a start?
My suggestion is to start as a group exercise. Because when you do it in groups, it can help one another to learn from one another, to have collective wisdom, and to have some sort of courage to do it. When I did that exercise, and that was not too long ago, we were divided into small groups. We took that class for about, it was a very long class actually, it was a course. But I tried to summarize it and to condense it as far as I could. We were divided into small groups, and each of us were given this, you know, this table that I showed you. This big one. Where it is. Yeah. And each one of us were asked to give a little thought about, okay, what would be the goals of Iraq. But we were asked to do this after we did the other exercise, you know, the circle exercise. And that circle exercise is not difficult. I mean, you can do it. You can do it now. Because everybody knows, you know, what are the various dimensions. And then, after we developed that, we started to share with one another the goals. What would be the goal? I asked my colleague, and my colleague asked me, and then the facilitator came back and started to listen to different goals and to look at the whole thing. So I think it's not difficult, but it's a matter of, you know, conviction that this is useful. Second, we do it in groups. Third, we have some sort of facilitation from outside, and then we put it in our plans. And we are very glad that Father Dawood has been pushing us in Amba Bram Ministry to have this kind of plans. Not necessary to be like this one, but at least for our development activities, it has to be well planned. You know what you want to achieve, this is a goal, what are the key activities you want to do, and then a simple budget for each, which are the action plans that follow goal setting. So it is important. And to be honest, and let me put it that way, job of the Lord should be done perfect. If we can do it less than perfect, we have something wrong. Why we do this in our work? Some of us may be engaged in activities that you have to do, you know, plans or reports, or you write something, or and you do it the best way you can. Why don't we do that for the Lord's work? If it is a culture, the culture should not dictate the way we should do our ministry. The culture should change, because the culture should not be a strangle, but we have to change the culture and not be imposed by the culture.
Okay. 3 o'clock in the morning, you can still be.
Thank you, Angie. As I mentioned, you know, there are different ways for this visioning exercise. And let me admit, you know, that in this small lecture we cannot cover all the aspects, you know, because visioning is very important, and also it's very difficult. It takes time to be, you know, and there are different ways, you know, to know yourself well, know what God wants from you, and know what are the community around you needs. This could be a simple way to do it, you know, but I know it takes time. But one way to help is if you look at some of the visions that have been given to people. it was not that complicated. Yani, for example, if you look at the Paul's mission statement, some people think that in Colossians 1:28, St. Paul mentioned his mission, his life mission, when he said, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." This is his mission. نحضر كل إنسان كاملا للمسيح يسوع. This is his mission. This is his life mission. So some people also would suggest that to turn irreligious people into fully devoted followers of Christ. I would assume that this evangelizing course could, you can state that this mission could be relevant to it, to turn irreligious people into truly devoted followers of Christ. I mean, there is no right or wrong answers here, but the way is, first of all, to have this clarity in mind about the need for a vision, mission, and life goals, and to have these various dimensions, and how can we reflect it in writing, and how can we assess ourselves against it, and most important, how can we help one another to develop it. And exercises can be done for that, and take its due time. Further,
excuse me. You know how much I'm target oriented, so I'm still متلخبط between the vision, mission, and goal. Let it put it this way: if the vision is to preach the gospel of the Coptic Church to the Africans, let's put it this way, what would be the mission, and what is the difference between the mission and the goals in this, just to explain.
Thank you, Abuna, for this question. If we take that ministry to South Africa, to reach South Africans and to proclaim the gospel of Christ, this is the mission. What would be the vision? What is our dream for fellow brothers and sisters in South Africa? What is our dream for them? To know life Christ and to have a partake in the holy body of Christ. This is the vision. The vision relates to the future. It's a dream. It is something that we hope to see happening, but it's not yet happening. And to reach that, we need to do something about it. So to go in outreach groups, to have courses, seminars, teachings, Bible distribution, training of leadership, this is the mission. This is the task. This is the how. In other words, the vision is the what. Okay, the goal is more specific, steps along the road. So if the mission is to outreach Africa, the goals will be, in 2010, we will be reaching 10 communities in South Africa. In 2012, we'll be reaching, and so on. And the plan will be, okay, to reach these 10 communities in 2010, what are the resources needed? Who will be going? When we will be going? What kind of money we will need? What kind of preparations we need? This is the plan. So in other words, the vision is the dream. What if I close my eyes and think about these fellow brothers and sisters, what would be the beautiful image that I want for them? This is the dream. It is not yet there. But to achieve that dream, I need to do something. That how is the mission. The goal is more specific steps along the mission, because the mission will be for 5 years. 5 years. I would say in 5 year time, South Africa will be preached by the Coptic Orthodox Church, proclaiming the good news of the gospel according to the Orthodox dogma. That would be the mission. What is the vision? Is each South African have a chance to be part of the body of Christ. If I take example from the world, it's very broad, exactly. The vision is very broad. It's a dream. It's something in the future, not yet seen. Mission is how I would reach that dream. Goal will be, okay, what are the specific steps that I will take now and in the coming few years? Plan, how I'm going to translate that goal into activities and actions with resources, with time, with who does what, when, how, and where. This is a summary of a plan. I would take a vision of Microsoft in 1980. You know what were their vision? Each home has a computer on a desk. In 1980, and I would recall also the vision of John Kennedy in late 50s, when he said, "The man will be footed on the moon." That was a dream, and at that time nobody would dare to say a moon. How would we arrive at the moon? But that was a dream. And like what they said that Martin Luther King, when he said, "I have a dream," and he was, you know, he was the spark of the civil rights movement in America. That was in 60s, and he was assassinated, as you all know. His dream was what? When I said, "I have a dream," is to have equal opportunities like the white. And interestingly, you know, 50 years later, the president is a black. So a vision is a dream, and probably the vision is coming from sight, insight. Insight is something that you would imagine, you would dream about, you would say for your child, "My dream for my daughter to be a perfect Christian witnessing the Lord in her work. This is my dream for her. What will be the mission that I'm going to do to help her achieve that vision? Is to educate her, train her, expose her to spiritual experiences, to life experiences, give her better education, blah blah blah. That would be the mission. What are the goals? Okay, in this year, in Sanawiya Amma, I would have to help her to get high marks. Next year, I will help her to go to the church and to serve in the ministry, and so on. So this is a kind of, you know, it's some sort of hierarchy. Hierarchy coming from the very broad to a less specific, to a more specific, to a very detailed intervention. I don't know whether this is made it a little bit clear or not. Thank you very much. I'm afraid I took much more time than I really wanted, but appreciated. Yeah.